about a new draft law the Morrison government will pass and give more power to the eSafety Commissioner when the online safety bill passes into Australian federal law. The bill allows the Commissioner to regulate and remove online content on platforms if deemed unfit, quote unquote. However, when it comes to what might be deemed as such, they can only be categorised into two broad classifications. So as you can imagine, there's plenty of room for grey area there. We're asking if professionals within the sex industry who use and produce content on platforms might have their platforms removed, along with their livelihood being affected as a result. Today we are joined by writer, sex worker, public health and sex educator Gala Vanting to discuss the implications this bill might have on the industry. Are you there?
I am, and I just want to also point out that I'm speaking as a representative of Palette Alliance Australian Sex Workers Association today.
Do you maybe want to just repeat that very quickly, Gala? Wasn't like a great line just to begin with, and I'm sure that was important.
Okay, sure. So I'm also speaking on behalf of Scarlet Alliance, the Australian Sex Workers Association.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. So I guess I'll start asking you to discuss what the bill is, as far as you know, and why giving the Commissioner the power to remove content might impact individuals within the sex industry. How important is a stable online platform at this point for someone, again, within the industry?
Sure. So the Online Safety Bill expands the powers of the eSafety Commissioner, whose powers previously related primarily to cyberbullying of children. And her remit is being expanded to include a lot of adult issues, so things like cyberbullying of an Australian adult, the non-consensual sharing of intimate images of an adult, and it also establishes something called the Online Content Scheme, which essentially imports the classifications code that's used for broadcast media and print media and video games, that sort of thing, and applies it to online content. And the problem with that for sex workers is that it's very likely to produce a chilling effect from digital platforms because the bill restricts the type of content, it basically restricts all sexual content and characterizes all sexual content, including even basic nudity, as harmful content that needs to be put behind what it calls a restricted access system. And the response to platforms to those types of law, which have precedent in the United States, is to basically preemptively remove that type of content from their platforms so that they can avoid any liability for civil or criminal penalties. And that's already occurring for lots of sex workers, and this bill is sort of, you know, our version of an American law called Dr. Sessa, that had a pretty devastating impact on the sex industry from 2018 until now. It's still being, the effects are still being felt.
Yeah, sure thing. So within Australia, I suppose, why is it that you think this kind of ongoing categorisation, which is so broad, and I suppose I don't know the ins and outs of it, I'm sure you've got a better idea than me, but is it just going to be as simple as, I don't know, it could be some a very conservative person that maybe that's not in their taste and they can easily just say something to the effect of or write or click, I'm not sure how it works, and say, I'm not a big fan of this, and then it can just have a demonstrative effect on someone's kind of income and just kind of their job as a result. So why is it that this categorization and control is there by people who, I suppose, lack competence in understanding the industry?
So you're right that that part of the bill employs a complaints mechanism for reporting of content, and that applies to a whole bunch of different types of content that are described throughout the bill.
Right.
So that's one way that content can potentially be can be investigated and potentially removed by the commission. But the other way that content can be removed is the bill creates something called the Basic Online Safety Expectations, and it, through a very hefty civil penalty, it incentivizes platforms to remove adult content. So there's kind of two ways that this can happen. One that's very targeted and specific to one particular image or video, And another that's very broad and actually not conducted by the commission itself, conducted by the platforms in response to the change in legislation.
Right.
But it does, look, because it enables user complaints, those, you know, anything that, that does that is subject to malicious complaints or nuisance complaints. And sex workers are already pretty vulnerable to that sort of thing because their profession is stigmatized and often criminalized.
Yeah, sure thing. The object of the act also is to improve and improve and promote kind of online safety for, I guess, Australian users. And to do so, the commissioner does have the power to impose, I guess, their own restricted access system. That could mean that a user might need to identify themselves. So if this is implemented, it seems such a strange concept to begin with. But how might that impact, I guess, the communication and trust between the client and the worker that I can imagine is just so imperative to the industry?
Yeah, you're so right about that. So anything, any restricted access system that is decided upon by the commissioner would then require, you know, for example, if a client wanted to access our advertising and that advertising was deemed to be class one or class two, as the bill defines it, it would need to be put behind, class one content needs to be put behind a restricted access system. And the examples that we kind of speak about when we talk about that kind of system are things like age verification software, facial ID software, which we've debated in federal parliament before unsuccessfully. And, you know, of course, that has lots of privacy and feasibility implications. For us, both us and our clients need to be able to maintain privacy in our engagement from start to finish. I think the financial impact, the economic impact on sex workers of imposing such a system could be really devastating simply because it's very off-putting to our clientele.
Sure thing. I want to make this very clear. I'm not playing devil's advocate here and I'm not making any assumptions, but in the last kind of 20 to, I guess, 30, 25 years, however long the internet has been around, I can imagine that has completely shifted the realities of kind of the sex work industry, correct?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been something that we've been able to harness to improve the safety and quality of our work, to have more control over the way we work and where we work.
Sure thing.
So yeah, it's been a big deal.
So as a result of that then, can we look at this somewhat as relatively kind of out of touch, relatively middle to older age individuals in government, and I suppose almost a knee-jerk reaction to something that was once something that maybe wasn't in the public eye, it wasn't in the face, it was something that people did behind closed doors, but now it's just more accessible as it's on the web, yes?
Sex work in general?
Oh, it's a yes.
I suppose sex workers are more visible because we're able to use tools like social media either to advertise our services or just to speak out, to be out, to advocate for our community. So if the question is whether sex work is more visible because of the internet, I think we can argue for both on that, because at the same time that the internet in general has made us more visible, it's also now beginning to censor us and deplatform us. So it's almost like we've peaked on that and now we're coming back down in a way that is quite damaging to our livelihood and safety.
Sure thing. And I will just finally ask that there was a survey in 2015 comparing, and it was acutely about men, but comparing men who buy, I don't want to say buy, but sexual services and men who don't, there was a common belief there that those that do so because of pleasure or relationship dissatisfaction. However, it also said that men that do not buy sexual services, again, I'm sorry to use the word buy, I'm just reading verbatim as to what's in front of me, also believe that it might be because of emotional problems. Why are some services that a sex worker can provide that the public rarely hear of, are they good for, I guess, an emotional state as much as anything else for those that get involved with it?
So that study. I would be very interested to know a little more about that study. And I think that it most likely is coming from a default position of problematizing the clients of sex workers.
Right.
However, if you're asking whether the services that sex workers provide are ones that can support people, men and everyone else, to live healthy lives, to feel I guess embodied, to feel whole. Yes, that's absolutely something that can come out of our services for people. But I think what's important to us is that regardless of the reasons for seeking the service, that we destigmatize the provision of sexual services across the board. So there isn't a need for that service to somehow serve some extra virtuous purpose. Sex work is work. Sex workers are laborers, and that's kind of how we talk about it, and that's how we advocate for the rights of sex workers as the rights of workers.